just wait while the ushers are still doing what they need to do. Isn't it great seeing people empowered? Seeing Steve up here, seeing Katie up here. We really just love empowering people into all that God has called them and just seeing them just flourish and thrive. It's just so good to see. It's really great to see Bruce and his family in the house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good, Anastasia, Ambery, and Bruce. So glad to have you guys here. Oh, the power of God that brings healing, hey? Thank you for participating and just really interceding for Bruce and his family. We're just so grateful for all those prayers that have been said and continued. So good. Had lots of good news this week, actually, haven't we, Tyler? We've had a grant that came through. It took 9 months to be accepted and less than 24 hours to be put in the bank. It was great. Praise God. The favour of God, hey? Favour of God. Let's just open in prayer before we hit into the word, hey? Father God, we thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for the life that is in your word. And Father, we thank you that as we receive your word today, Father God, you have a word and a promise and a good thing that you will deposit in each person here today, Father God. Lord, we just come with open hearts, ready to receive your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. So we are doing a two-part series on hope. This week I'm talking about anchored hope and having our hope anchored in Christ. And next week I'll be talking about really practical things about holding on to hope. So I would just want to be really real with you next week and get into some more nitty-gritty of how we actually hold on to hope. But today, anchored hope. We are going to go, you know that I love just grabbing just a couple of verses from the Word of God that's so rich in just short passages of Scripture, and I really want to explore this passage of Scripture for you. In Hebrews 6, verses 18 to 19, the Word of God says, "So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." This passage of Scripture is so rich. God has given His promise and His oath. These are both characteristics of God that are unchangeable, that are true characteristics of the nature of God. So what He promises, He swears by an oath unto Himself. There's no one greater than God, so He can only swear on oath to Himself. And He made a promise to Abraham to bless him and multiply his descendants. Now, the reason why I am bringing up Abraham right at this very point is because when you read on in this passage of Scripture, God talks about Abraham and his faith and how God brought a promise to Abraham while Abraham waited patiently. He waited patiently for over 20 years for the promise of God to come. But God is faithful and God fulfills His promises. God always fulfills His promises. What He says, He does. He cannot let you down. He cannot lie. He cannot be unfaithful to you. He is a faithful God. He keeps His word and His promises are always true and they come to pass. So the hope that we have in God, we can have great confidence in putting our hope and trust in Him because of these things. And He leads us into His presence. The hope we have in God is an anchor for our souls, for our mind, our spirit, our body. You know, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible, according to Google. This means that there are over 3,500 promises that God has made to you, that He's promised you that He will fulfill His promises to you. 3,500. And so you can put your trust and your hope in Him and know that He will keep His word. God will fulfill all of His promises that He has made. He is faithful. He is our anchor. I was going through just some of the promises. I want to read these out to you. I want you to really have a deeper understanding of just some of the promises that God says in His word. He says, for those people who believe in Him, for those people that call Jesus Lord, these are some of the promises. He calls us children of God. He promises abundant life. He has prepared a place in heaven for those who love Him. He promises to comfort you, to give you strength, to give you overflowing joy. He promises His peace. He promises to care for you as you tell Him all of your concerns, all of your worries, all of your needs. He promises to care for you, to hear you, and to respond to you. He promises His gift of the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, counsel, comfort, to show those things that God has freely given to you by Him. He promises protection. He promises that He is working everything together for your good as you love Him, because you love Him. He has made you wise, righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. He has promised you that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for you. He promises that He will exceed all you could imagine with how He will pour out His love onto you. He has promised to give you rest. He has promised that He will supply everything you need, not just most of it, but everything. This is a promise that He has for you. He will provide everything you need. You will not lack for anything. He has promised that there is nothing that can separate you from His love. There is nothing that can separate you from His love. He has promised eternal life. He has promised that He will reward you when you pray in secret. He promises that He will give you whatever you ask for in His name according to His will. He promises forgiveness. And He is just and He is faithful to forgive every single time and forget. He promises healing. He promises His authority to be in you, to cast out unclean spirits, to heal those who are sick. He cares for you. He promises that as you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. He promises that He has anointed you with the oil of gladness. You are a new creation. He rewards you when you diligently seek Him. He promises that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He has promised that He will complete a good work in you. He has promised to never leave you, to never abandon you, to give you His shelter, to be your refuge. He promises physical and spiritual restoration. This is one of my favorite promises. When things have been stolen or lost or destroyed or damaged, God has promised that He will bring complete restoration to you physically, spiritually, every single way. That's His promise. You are saved by grace. He promises to fight for you. He delights in you. He gave you His Son Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for your sins so that you can have His gift of grace. You can have eternal life with God the Father. All His promises are yes and amen. All His promises are true. All His promises are good for us, for those who believe, for those who trust and hope in Him. And how great is our hope, who is in a God who is love. Doesn't that bring you joy, just hearing just some of those promises? Come on, this is so good. Hebrews 6:19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Our hope in God is certain. It is secure. And this hope leads us into His presence. Being in His presence allows Him to speak His love, allows Him to speak His promises, His goodness, His plan, His future for us. When your hope is anchored in God, His presence reveals all He has for you. Recently, I was drawn to just spend time in His presence. And when, you know, when you come into a time of prayer and just waiting on the Lord, sometimes it can start off a little bit, kind of don't really feel anything or sense anything. And so I just take my time and I just continue to persevere and press in and just wait for His presence. And so as I was doing this, as I was really seeking the Lord and waiting for His presence, the anointing, His presence, it's tangible. I could feel it in my hands. I could feel the thickness in the air. It was His presence. And in that space of just waiting on the Lord and just being in His presence, Lord, speak to me. What do You have for me? I want to hear Your voice. He spoke a word to me that I had been wrestling with over probably, 6 to 9 months, coming out of a few years of just working really, really hard and not being very good at saying no, saying yes to everyone and things coming to a cost to my family for doing that. I know I've talked a little bit about that before. And having a resistance over the last 6 months of, God, I don't want to go into that place again. I'm fearful of being in that space again. I don't want to do that. And so the opposite was occurring, where I would be withholding and restricting giving into people or giving generally. And so in His presence, He spoke a word to me. It was actually the scripture of Isaiah 40:31. But as He spoke this word to me, it was, I will strengthen you. You don't need to worry. You just come into My presence and I will give you My strength. So you don't have to worry about being burnt out. You don't have to fear expending more than you have, because as you continually come into My presence, I will give you My strength. I will renew your strength. You will soar high like on the wings of eagles. And so you will soar. You will be easy. It will be easy. I want to read you that scripture. It's such a beautiful scripture, Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And so in that moment, God spoke so clearly. I could trust in Him for strength. I could trust in Him to bring renewal, to bring refreshing by being in His presence. Our hope in Him leads us into His presence. And Hebrews 10, verses 21 to 23 just affirms this. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. God has promised that He has a plan and a future for our lives, and it is good. God doesn't plan to cause you harm. It's not in His nature to do that. His plan is to bring you His goodness, to bring you a hope, and to bring you a future. So whilst bad things happen, God doesn't cause harm. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What a great promise this is for each one of us, that God has a plan and a future and a hope for you that is good. This is his promise, not my words. It's the word of the Lord. When Richard and I were very, very early married, we were pregnant with Shekinah. Richard had just finished his honours in biochemistry. He did a double major in genetics and biochemistry, and then he did postgrad honours. And so he was very, very qualified, very smart man. But there really isn't many jobs in science, and certainly not at that particular time there wasn't. The work for that particular area was actually really, really non-existent, yeah. So as you can imagine, you know, we were pregnant with our first child and no job. Richard was still working at Coles with his uni job, and, you know, we had a mortgage and we had bills and all the rest of the normal things that people have, but we really needed God's direction with where to go. And so we prayed together about, well, what is your plan, Lord? What is your plan and direction for what we should do? Should Richard go and do another year of study and become a teacher, or what should we do? So as we prayed together, we really thought, no, God has a job for him. That's the direction. No more study. He needs to work. So we'll trust you in this. We'll trust you in this. Oh, my goodness. Working and studying to support each other. That's what you do when you're married. So we trusted the Lord for his provision and for this job. But, you know, when you're coming up to ready to give birth to your first child and there's still no job on the table, where's God in this situation? Why is he delaying? He could give Richard a job just like that. You know, Richard had been applying for many, many jobs. So what's going on? Richard said, you know, I'll get the job just as you go into labour. And I'm like, ha ha, that's not actually funny. I remember very clearly, it was a Monday morning and Richard got a call saying that he had been offered a job, which happened to be in Canberra. And it was such a relief. And of course, you know, when you get such great news after probably almost a year of you know, really searching for work, we decided to go and celebrate that evening. And as we were going out to the restaurant on the way in the car, I'm like, gee, Richard, I think the labour's starting. I think I'm having some contractions. But it's all right, first baby, it takes ages, you know, so we'll just keep going out for dinner. We didn't really say anything to our family that were coming with us. By the time we got to the restaurant, I think the contractions were only a few minutes apart. They were very, very close together right from the start. And they were very painful. And I remember my aunt saying, look, you know, as I'm gripping the table every few minutes, it's okay, we can just go home, you don't have to stay. And I said, but this could be the last meal I have for the next 24 hours. I'm going to eat this dinner. It was so yummy, it was Italian. I'm not going to stop for anything. So we did, and we took a while to get back to the car because I had to stop every few minutes to these contractions, and you know, in true form, Shekinah was born the next day. She really did take her time, but it's very painful. The point that I want to make with that story is, you know, God wants us to wait patiently to really develop our trust in him, to really put our hope in him. Because he will always come through for us. He will always provide. His promises are true. And so I think that's why he waits to the very last minute to fulfill his promises, because he wants us to really trust and hope in him. praise God, he does keep his word. Our hope in God is an anchor for our souls. When I think about an anchor and what an anchor does, you know, an anchor keeps the boat from drifting into unsafe waters. It keeps a boat safe and secure. It holds the vessel. We throw down the anchor when we need to rest or just stay in a good place. We throw down the anchor to fish, to have fun, or to work. The anchor gives us protection. The anchor gives us safety. And so when we're putting our hope in God, we are putting our hope in God for his protection over us, for his ability to keep us safe and secure. We put our hope in him for his provision and blessings. And we put our hope in him for rest and refreshment. So put your hope in his word. Anchor yourselves to God, because he is trustworthy and his hope in him is certain. When you have no hope, when there's an absence of hope or a lack of hope, it actually makes your heart sick. It makes your body, your mind, your soul sick when there is an absence of hope or a lack of hope. And the absence of hope can look like feeling down. It can look like despair or hopelessness. It does really affect our whole being. And Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." A dream fulfilled is a tree of life. A hope in a promise that is fulfilled gives great health, it gives life, it gives fruitfulness. It's rich, it's flourishing, it's thriving, its roots go deep into the ground, it's strong, it's secure. Putting your hope in God for the dreams that you have, for the desires that God has placed in your heart, knowing that this kind of hope is certain, that you can count on God to fulfill his promise to you, that he gives you joy, life, growth and strength as you put your hope in him. When we look at a little bit more of this meaning of a dream fulfilled as a tree of life, it's actually talking about wisdom. So the opposite of no hope is putting our hope in God, who gives us wisdom. Wisdom and a fulfilled desire are both trees of life because they pull us back from courting our own mortality. Wisdom prolongs life and makes it enjoyable, and a fulfilled desire makes life pleasant instead of a long, frustrating, arduous life. Can you see the difference between a hope deferred or no hope, or putting your hope in things that aren't real or don't actually, you know, we can wish that we win the lotto. Well, apparently you have more chance of going to the moon than winning the lotto. So don't put your hope in that. Put your hope in something that is certain. Put your hope in God. And there is life and enjoyment and the wisdom of God. So what dream has God put in your heart? What desires has God placed in your heart? Trust in him to fulfill these dreams and desires. God wants you to dream. He wants you to hope. He wants you to know that he fulfills his word and brings life to your soul. He brings abundance and richness and fruitfulness and strength. Dream, hope in him, and wait for him to fulfill those promises. And I think that's the part that we go, oh, I don't know if I really want to wait that long for the promise to be fulfilled. When we look at Abraham, so Abraham and Sarah, I think they'd been married for about 50 years and no child. That's a lot of, you know, years to wait and try for a child. And after that, it was where, that was when God actually said to Abraham, you know, I promise that you will be fruitful and multiply, that there will be many descendants from you. Now, if I was God and there was Abraham and Sarah and they knew that, you know, Sarah was pretty much barren and had been for around 50 years and then I said to them, you know, actually you are going to have children and many descendants, I kind of wanted to like go, you know, ta-da, there you go, straight away. It's all sorted. But no, that's not what God did. He waited another 25 years before he fulfilled the promise in giving their son Isaac. 25 years on top of the 50. That's a really long time. And I don't blame Sarah for laughing at God when he said that to her, because especially now that she was 90, I mean, she's not even, she was barren to start with and now she's completely infertile. So how on earth can you do this, God? But that's the beauty of how God works, how he takes his time because he's developing our trust in him. He wants us to grow in our faith and our hope and know that he will come through for you. And so hoping in the wait is so precious, it's so valuable to hope in the wait as God prepares your heart for the promise, as God prepares your ability to trust in him more and more and more as you hope in the wait. And we see that, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Abraham, for that many years of him developing his hope in God as he waited for that promise to be fulfilled. Hoping in the wait is very important to go through. And so what did Abraham do as he hoped in the wait? Well, he followed the direction of God, who said, go to the land of Canaan. It's a land that I have for you. So Abraham did that. He went to the land of Canaan. He worked hard. He didn't lose his hope in God. He kept on doing what needed to be done as he prepared for the promise to be fulfilled. He worked for many, many years, didn't he? And he defeated armies, he got very wealthy, he did all of these things. He continued to just stay the course. And I think as we hope in the wait, we can really learn of how Abraham waited patiently for the promise to be fulfilled. That we stay the course, we keep going and doing the things that we know are right. We keep reading the word. We keep praying to God. We keep seeking him. We keep spending time in his presence. We keep coming into his house. We keep going to connect, to have people around us to encourage us and pray for us and support us. We keep doing the things, the routine, the structure, the day-to-day things. We stay the course as we hope in the wait of God's promises to be fulfilled. We declare and continually declare God's goodness and his promise as we hope in him. We declare that he is a faithful God. We declare that his word is true. We remain close to him. We anchor our hope deep into dwelling in his presence. So the more that you are waiting, the longer that you are waiting, that is where you really put your anchor down into his presence, where you really put his anchor and just grow so much more in your faith and your trust in God. The times when we start losing our hope or we start doubting is when we need to trust and believe again that his promise for us will come to pass. hope in the waiting is preparing for the fulfilled promise. Hope in the waiting is building your capacity to trust God, to have faith in Him, to deepen your hope in Him. That's what God wants. He wants you to know Him so intimately. He wants you to trust Him so completely. And so hoping in the wait is what God is doing in those times. So what can you do in the wait? What can you do in preparation for your promise that God has for you? What steps are you taking in preparing for the fulfillment of God's promises? Don't become impatient and try to do God's work. Let's learn from Sarah. Sarah was impatient. Sarah doubted God, and so she took the promise of God into her own hands and had their handmaiden Hagar sleep with her husband so that they conceived Ishmael. So Sarah said, see, there's your promise. Actually, that's not how God works. We don't need to try and force the promise to happen. We just keep trusting in Him and wait patiently for Him, because God will do things in miraculous and incredible ways that you cannot conceive or imagine. It would have been very easy to God to have granted Abraham and Sarah a child at the very beginning. But His purpose was to show that through the impossible, He is possible. He will create possibilities. He will bring things to pass in impossible situations so that we can really know that He is God, He is Lord, He is all-powerful, and that He can be trusted. So don't become impatient as you're waiting. Keep hoping, keep trusting, keep praying. He will come through for you. The last point that I want to bring to you today is strengthening your anchor. As you are waiting, strengthen your anchor. In the waiting period, anchor your hope in God deep into the seabed floor. Stay anchored to Him. Keep your anchor strong. Keep your hope and your trust in the Lord strong. It is this hope and trust in Him that keeps you anchored. It keeps you safe and secure. It keeps you on the right path for His promises to be fulfilled. If you pull up your anchor, or if you cut off your anchor from Him, you know, it's just like that boat analogy. You will get off course. You will go into unsafe waters. You will go through storms, and you won't be able to be secure and safe because you're not anchored to God. And so stay strong in being anchored to Him. Hebrews 11 verses 17 to 19 shows us how Abraham, as he waited for so many years for the promise of God to be fulfilled through giving his son Isaac, how this developed such strong faith in God. And we see that God brings another test, if you like, to Abraham's faith. And he's able to completely trust in Him because of what he went through before. We read in Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Can you see in that waiting, in that faithfulness of Abraham to wait on God's promise to be fulfilled, that when God brought his son Isaac to being and then asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son? Look, we know this is a reflection of Jesus. But the point is, he trusted God. He knew God could do the impossible. He knew that if Isaac had to be killed, he knew that God said, well, you'll still have descendants, so God can raise him back to life again. He could trust in God. His hope was completely grounded and anchored in God, who is true, who is righteous, who is holy. Our most certain hope is our salvation. God's last promise that he makes is that Jesus will come again. In Revelation 22:20, he who is the faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And back in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28, and just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Our assurance of being with God in heaven is certain when we believe, trust, hope in him. When we declare that Jesus is Lord of our lives, when we put all our hope and trust in God, in his son Jesus who died for us. Church, I want you to stand. And the reason that I ask you to stand is I want you to enter into a new hope. Enter into a new trust in God. I want you to just close your eyes. I want this to be a moment where this is between you and the Lord. I'm going to do a few things today before we finish. The first thing that I want to do is for those people who don't have an anchor in God, who need to be anchored in him. For those people who need to renew a new hope in God, who need to renew and reattach that anchor to themselves, I want to give you an opportunity to declare that today, to declare that you are going to put your trust in God, that you are going to renew your hope in him. Church, I want us to pray together as we just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to those people today. Would you help me pray this prayer? Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus, who has died and risen again, that I might have eternal life with you. Today, I renew my hope. I anchor myself to you as the Lord of my life. Forgive my sins. Wash me clean. Let me live a life anchored to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If that was a prayer that you prayed for the first time, if that was a prayer that you prayed again because you're renewing your hope in the Lord, all I want you to do is just put your hand up so I can see it, make it a public declaration. Thank you. I see your hand. You can pop it back down again. Thank you. I see your hand. You can pop it back down again. Is there anybody else here today to renew their hope, to start a new life of being anchored to God? Thank you, God. I know there's people who put those hands up, and at the end of the service, I want you to come forward. We have a gift to give you. I want to pray with you. I want to start this journey with you and walk alongside you as you put your hope in God. For all of us here today, what has God promised you that you are waiting patiently for? What dream has God given you that is yet to be fulfilled, that now you have renewed hope for, knowing that a fulfilled dream brings life, brings health? Put all your hope and trust in God. Renew your hope today. Desire that He is good. He has a good plan. He has a good future. He has promises for you to take hold of tightly and put your hope in Him, in the God who is your perfect Heavenly Father, who loves you always. He is faithful. He fulfills the desires of your heart. Anchor yourself to God today. Hope in Him. Hope again. Dream again. Be in His presence, that He may reveal more and more and more of His plan, His future, His dreams for you, His promises that He has made to you. He is a God of His word. He will not let you down. He will magnificently fulfill His promises in ways unimaginable. Hope in Him. Secure your anchor in Him.